well, the little book of Titus this morning, Titus chapter 1. It's right after Timothy, if that'll help you. Titus chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless. It doesn't say sinless, it says blameless. As the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre. Filthy lucre's money, okay? But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober and just and holy and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies, whatever that means. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Titus came to Crete and was not one bit happy to be there. But the Apostle Paul told him to stay. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Crete is an island. It is the fifth largest island in the Mediterranean. At the time of Jesus Christ, Crete had been inhabited a couple of thousand years and had a well-defined social order. By reputation, it was out in the boondocks. It was a place of little culture. They were known for immorality and crudeness. The gospel came to Crete because Paul landed there in a harbor called Fair Havens in the last chapters of Acts. He preached there and a church was started. So Paul leaves Titus to carry on the work. Paul and Titus had a great relationship. Titus was a Gentile. He was saved when Paul preached in Antioch. Paul loved him so much, he called him his own son after the common faith. We also know that Titus traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys. But Titus wasn't happy about Crete. It was a bad assignment for him, he thought. We gather from the letter that Titus had written Paul and fussed at him. Tradition says he wrote him twice. I don't like it here. The people are wicked. They're immoral. They don't like me. I'm doing the best I can, but it is an impossible situation. Let me go somewhere else, Paul, where people can be reached and I can amount to something. I want out. Paul wrote back and said, stay where you are. Now, this applies primarily to preachers, of course, but we all have situations like Crete in our life. Many people feel their job is a Crete, a bad situation. It's an impossible situation. Some people feel their marriage is like Crete. So Paul offers his counsel to this young man. First of all, he says, stay in Crete. Don't even think about leaving. Significant things are accomplished when you work hard and stay where God puts you. God said that about our marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. The word cleave there is the word for glue. You are to be glued together. And then the Lord said, that which God hath joined together or glued together, let not man put asunder. I've told you many times, a good marriage takes place when two good people get together and they stay together. That's also true of a pastor and a church. The average tenure of a pastor with a church, 4 years, less than that for staff members. I've always believed it had better be God that moves you and not personal preference. Churches can pick you to death. They can fault you. Don't you understand that the Apostle Paul went through that? I want you to hold your place here and go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Just to the left in your Bibles a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 15 and 16. He tells this church, where is then the blessedness that ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth? Now I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, Paul tells this very carnal church at Corinth. I will give my best for you. Then he says this, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved of you. Church members ought to be careful about leaving a church where they are loved and they are needed. Conviction ought to dominate your life and not personal preference. Paul told Titus, stay in Crete. Second of all, he told him, establish the church in Crete. Verse 5 of our text. For this cause left I in thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. What he is saying is this, build great leaders in the church. The strength of any church lies in the quality of the leadership of that church. everything according to R.G. Lee, great old-fashioned Baptist preacher, said this: everything rises or falls on leadership. And that's true in a church, and that's true in a nation. Okay? There must be accountability of leaders to those who are depending upon them. I must be accountable. If I fail to study, you will know it, and God already knows it. I can't fly by the seat of my pants. Some can, I can't. A good principle for me is never do anything unprepared. Paul said, stay in Crete and establish leadership. Let me tell you something about Tina. Tina has been faithful to this church for 34 years. Marlene has been the pianist at this church for 34 years. I wish all leadership positions at this church had been that faithful. As you continue to grow in grace, seek more accountability and not less. Since I have been here, I have done my best to love God and love His Word and love His people. I have grown old. I have grown old with you people. I've done my best to creatively lead, but I'm not too good at that. All my theories are not right. Sometimes my beautiful plans are murdered by a gang of ugly facts. I am under no illusions about myself. I know my weaknesses. I know my limitations. I know my insecurities. Sometimes I shudder as I sit there before I preach to stand in the pulpit and represent God's Word, because I know me. How backward and how rough around the edges I am. We don't always win as a church, but we are doing some things right, and I think the most important things are done right by this church. Paul said, stay in Crete. Third, get involved in the culture of Crete. Chapter 3 of Titus, verses 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. The them in verse 1 is the church. Titus, get the church involved in your community. Get involved in your neighborhood. Get involved in the lives of your neighbors. Let them know of your commitment to the gospel and to the Lord. Get involved in the lives of those with which you work. Your church gives tens of thousands of dollars every year to missions. Missionaries involved in the culture in which they live. Our missionaries do such a wonderful job. Paul told Titus, get your church involved in the lives of the people. Stay in Crete. And last of all, he said this: Titus, preach the gospel in Crete. Chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Paul told Titus to major on four things from preaching. First of all, true salvation. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. True salvation is by grace through faith, not by good works, not by being baptized. You are saved when you have a personal relationship with God through His Son. You are saved when you bring all your sin and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me because of what Your Son did for me on the cross." And He forgives you and He forgets your sin. Second of all, he said, Titus, preach the security of the believer. Look at chapter 1 once again in verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You preach, Titus, that once you are touched and changed by God, He will keep you throughout all eternity. You are secure in God. Preach that, Titus. Third, he said, preach right living. Look at chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Let's be above that. Let's live above that. All through this book, Paul said, here's the standard for preachers. Here's the standard for old men. Here's the standard for young men. Here's the standard for women. We are to live right before God and before our fellow man. Our fellow man wants to see a life that works. And then last of all, Paul told Titus to preach the rapture. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We say it often. Get ready, because the Lord is coming. And folks, it could be today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your wonderful word this morning. Thank You for the little book of Titus. Thank You for Paul's heart toward this young man. And I just gave him good counsel. Stay there. Work hard. Do a good job. And live your life according to convictions. And never compromise the Word of God. So, Father, help us to take that same counsel from Paul. and live a life that is pleasing to Thee. Thank You. Thank You, dear Father, for saving our soul. Thank You for keeping us. Thank You for all the wonderful things that You do in our life. Thank You for our families. What a joy to be surrounded with people that we love. Dear Father, I just ask that You might speak to hearts this morning. That if there's someone here that's never been saved, first of all, that they might come and allow us to show them how to go to heaven. And then, dear Father, those of us that are saved, help us to take this counsel to live a life that's pleasing to Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.